This is a Bible study on UFOs. Now, what are they? Are they angels? Are they men? Are they demons? Are they human inventions? Well, we saw in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, where God opened the eyes of the servant of Elijah, so he saw that all around Elijah were chariots of horses and so forth, and he said, "There are more with us than with them." That is referring to the Syrian army. Now we come to Daniel, the fourth chapter, and what we have here, we have an indication, and we'll see another place in the book of Daniel too, that the angels rule the world. They're angels set over all nations, angels and demons. Now apparently, as we'll see a little later on, Michael is the archangel over Israel. And all of this we'll find in the book of Daniel. And Gabriel is the angel over all of the events leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. So we'll take a look at that. But here, Daniel 4 is another very interesting place in the Scriptures, because what this really is, this is an epistle from King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he was hated by the Jews because he took them captive into exile into Babylon. But what did God tell Jeremiah to tell the Jews when they saw the armies of Nebuchadnezzar? He said, "Don't fight against him, because he is my servant of punishment to you." So, not many people think of King Nebuchadnezzar as a servant of God. He was in that particular case. And since he was the first of the great empires that were going to be established from that time forward, God dealt with him directly. And also through Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So, right here it starts out, the beginning, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." Then he says, "Here I was, minding my own business. I had a dream, and the dream was that here was a great tree, and all the birds of heaven were roosting in it, and it was banded with an iron band and then cut down, but the roots remained in there." So he didn't know what this was, so he asked Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, which means the one in whom are the gods. So he told him the vision, and we find out what the vision was. He told him what it was. Now notice verse, okay, tree grew, we covered that, cut down the stump. Okay, verse 16. "Let his heart be changed from a man's to a beast's heart. Let any beast heart be given to him, and let seven times pass over him." Now that's 7 years altogether in figuring time. "The matter is by the decree of the watchers." So there are angels who are watching, there are demons who are watching. And the demand by the word of the holy ones. Now those also are referring to the angels. "So that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the basest of men." That is true. I mean, just think about it. Absolutely true. So then, Belshazzar declared it, and he told him what it would be. So he says, come over here to verse 22. "It is for you, O king, for you have become great and strong, for your greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And as the king saw a watcher and holy ones coming down from heaven. Now remember, John 6, Jesus said, what would you do if you saw angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? So there's a whole spirit world out there that our eyes do not have the frequency to see. They have to be open spiritually in order to understand it. Coming down from heaven and saying, cut the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots of it in the earth, even the band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heavens, and let his portion be with the animals of the field until seven times have passed over him. So, you know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar was told this was for him. Now, if he would have repented, he probably could have avoided it. Because remember what we covered this morning, that if at any time God speaks concerning a nation, or we could say concerning an individual, that if they repent, he'll change his mind. I mean, you can think of two instances, can't you? Actually, three. Ahab, remember what happened? Elijah was told to go to Ahab and say, you're the worst evil man around. Look at how evil you are. I'm going to destroy you. So he repented, put on sackcloth and ashes. And Elijah didn't get all the way back to where he's going. And God says, you go back and talk to my servant Ahab. Huh? He just told him you were going to kill him. Well, he's repented. I'm not going to do it yet. See, so if Nebuchadnezzar would have repented, this wouldn't have come upon him. But what happened? What happened? Okay. So Daniel said, verse 27, therefore, O king, let my advice be pleasing to you, and break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, so there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at the end of 12 months, the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace of the kingdom of Babylon, looking out at the view. You know, something happens when you get up high and look out and see. So he was exalted. And the king spoke and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal residence by the might of my powers and the glory of my majesty? How great I am. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. So 7 years he was driven out. Can you imagine? Didn't shave, didn't cut his fingernails, didn't cut his toenails, nothing. Well, all he did was go out there and look like he was insane and eat grass with the cattle. Then after 7 years, he was brought back. Now notice, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. Kind of ties in with what we talked about this morning, right? Yes, indeed. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven, that is all the angels, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? So then he said, at that time my reason returned to me, and the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me, and my advisors and lords came to me. Oh, yes, King. Oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, you look so well. Oh, my. They sure took good care of you after you came out of that ox crib over there. My, you look so much better with your hair cut and your beard trim, you know, and a crown on your head. Oh, yes. You know, treat us nicely, please, King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And I was established in my kingdom, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now, here's the sum of the matter. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. Don't like a little bit New Testament? What did Jesus said? What was it that he said? Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, shall be abased. See? Unity of the Scriptures. But the point is, there are angels, watchers, and holy ones, along with Satan and the demons, who rule this world behind the scenes. That's why you've heard reporters say about Washington, D.C., when you get to Washington, the atmosphere changes and everybody thinks differently. What's the power behind it there? It's certainly not for good at the present time. How about what happened when Stalin came into power? Or Hitler came into power? Or Mao Tse-tung came into power? Everything changed and ended up being a frenzy. And how about the Pol Pot in Cambodia? And all of the killing and stacking up of the heads, and when the demons are let loose to rule, it's almost like the whole nation is possessed. And that's what happens with it. I think that's what's happening in Zimbabwe right now. It's a terrible, terrible mess. And in Darfur. See, it happens in every nation when nations turned away from God. Then they're turned over to demons instead of angels. Now, let's come here to Daniel, the 10th chapter. Daniel 10. And let's pick it up here in verse 11. Now, this was after he had fasted and was praying. And then he saw this vision, and he fell into a deep sleep on his face. Now, here's something very important to understand. If you fall on your back, that's for Satan. When you worship God, you fall on your face. So when you hear about the story, and I used to pastor church up in Salt Lake City, and, of course, that was Mormon land. And they have this big museum, and they've got something showing how that Joseph Smith had a vision from God and he fell on his back. See, that wasn't from God. Because if it was from God, he would have fallen on his face and the message would have been different. Because the message while he was on his back that was given to him was, Joseph Smith, the church has died out. I'm going to raise it up with you. That's what he was told. If it were from God, he would have fallen on his face, and it would have been, Joseph Smith, my church has never died out, because I promised it would never die out. And just 50 miles down the road, there is a Church of God Seventh Day. If you want to know about me, go down there. See? Okay, now let's go on here. And so he was on his face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me trembling on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand up, for to you I am now sent. And when he spoke these words to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now you see, this is it. Regardless of how long it takes, does that mean your words aren't heard? No, they're heard. But sometimes God wants to know, are you really in earnest? See? Because if you say a short prayer, Oh God, help me do this, run on, do your own business. Well, might not be answered. But here, Daniel was fasting, he was praying, he was seeking God, and his words were heard from the day that he spoke. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And so we'll find out that this is Gabriel here. Then, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been there alone with the kings of Persia. To do what? To carry out the will of God concerning those kingdoms. That's what he was there for. Now, I've come to make you understand what shall happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and became dumb. So there you have it there. Now, verse 18. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplication before you on account of our righteousnesses, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do not delay for your own sake. O God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, we can pray that prayer for the Church of God today as well, because, you know, this is an excellent example of how you pray and beseech God when you are, you know, down at your lowest, you don't understand what's going on, things are miserable. That's a good example on how to pray. Verse 20, And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in my prayer, even the man Gabriel. Well, we know Gabriel is an angel, but he appeared as a man. Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, came to me. So, angels fly. They don't need wings. They can propel themselves, have the ability to do so, about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me to understand and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. And so then he gave him the 70 weeks prophecy, which was about when the Messiah would come. Now, come here to Luke, the first chapter. And let's see something having to do with Gabriel again. So this is why I say that Gabriel was the angel in charge of all of the events leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. So you know the account there of Zacharias, who became the father of John the Baptist. And let's pick it up here in verse 11. He went in to offer the incense. Luke 1, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when he saw the angel, Zacharias was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, Fear not, Zacharias, because your supplication has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son to you, and you shall call his name John. And he shall be a joy and an exultation to you, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great before the Lord. He shall never drink wine or strong drink in any form, but he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Then Zacharias said to the angel, By what means shall I know this? Very good instruction. If it is truly an angel of God, don't doubt it. For I am an old man. He forgot to read about Abraham, right? And my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and announce this good news to you. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things shall take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their time. Now, that's a good one to think upon. So later, what happened? Gabriel appeared to Mary. So we have with Gabriel the 70-week prophecy, the prophecy of John the Baptist, and then we have speaking to Mary about the begettal of Jesus in her womb. So there are angels. Here the Bible identifies them, so we cannot necessarily call these unidentified flying objects or UFOs. Now there are demons, and demons do not have the ability to manifest themselves in bodily form as a man. They appear as an apparition or a shadow or what is referred to in the English as a ghost. And neither angels nor demons can cohabit with women to create angels. See, now God did something very interesting with Genesis 6. It's actually men who became giants. But since the Jews do not accept the New Testament, they can't find the answer, because the answer is when Jesus said that angels do not marry nor are given in marriage, which also is another key important thing to understand. The New Testament interprets the Old Testament. So what do we have here? In this case, we have Daniel 9 gives the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah by Gabriel, and now Gabriel takes care of the actions leading to its final fulfillment. Carry it out. Now, there can also be, included in UFOs, there can be things like very similar to the Northern Lights, only in a little different form. See, what the Northern Lights are the equivalent in the Southern Hemisphere is the way that the light shines when it's completely dark in the winter and the only light is reflected. It is actually reflecting the light off the particles of magnetism that's coming from the sun. Because coming from the sun all the time is the magnetism necessary, the magnetic energy which comes in at the poles, north and south poles, and keeps the earth turning on its axis. Now, the other magnetic power that greatly affects the Earth is Jupiter. And Jupiter is a very huge gaseous planet which absorbs most of the asteroids which could hit the Earth. So, when you see the Northern Lights or the Southern Lights, if I could put it that way, these could also people not knowing that could look at that and say this is an unidentified flying object. You could also have it as an angel passing through the heavens that shows some of his glory. You could also have it as some demons who come and present a vision and say whatever they may say. Some say they're Christ, some say they're other angels and so forth. But remember this, if it is ever an angel of God, he's going to speak the words of God, number one. He's not going to tell you to do something contrary to the word of God. So it could be that. Then the last thing that UFOs could be, there could be some kind of flying machine that men have made. And we don't know about it yet. I mean, look how long it was that they had the stealth fighter. Remember the stealth fighter? They had that. And a lot of people out there in Nevada thought when these stealth fighters were in their experimental stage and flying around there, they thought, yes, these are unidentified flying objects. Because they would come in and they would have these big landing lights and they would come into this secret air base and no one could get there and no one could see. So there were all kinds of stories of UFOs. And, of course, that was a man-made object and it wasn't a UFO. But what do they have now that we don't know about? Don't know. So much for UFOs. Okay. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.